Before we read Galatians chapter 5 this morning, verses 7 to 26, let's just pray. Father, we thank you today that your promises are true. Lord, we thank you that you have not left or forsaken us. And we thank you, Lord, that you will be with us each step of the way, especially in this season of our lives. Lord, it is difficult at times, but we thank you, Lord, that you will teach us through this trial to be a patient people, that we may reflect your beauty to the world that we live in and we serve. Lord, help us to be salt and light. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that great is your faithfulness and your mercies are new every morning. So, Lord, today we have woken with your new faithfulness over us, your great mercy. And Lord, for that we are forever grateful. Lord, where would we be if Jesus hadn't loved us? And we thank you so much for your great love towards us, for calling us to be in the family of God. Lord, we bless you and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's read this morning from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. And it says this: "You were running the race so well. Who held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. I am trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you. Dear brothers and sisters, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, why am I still being persecuted? If I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended. I just wish that those troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring each other, watch out. Beware of destroying one another." Verse 16. "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants you to do evil, which is the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry on your good intentions. But when you're directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation of the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension and division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such of these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and have crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another." And the Lord will bless his most precious word. Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Seldom found in a woman, and never in a man. I don't know about you, but right now I could really do with the help of the Holy Spirit of God in my life to produce patience. Sometimes I do good sometimes I can be patient in a lot of circumstances and show this patience and do okay. And then there are other times, especially if I'm tired, my patience can wear thin. I have been watching lately and just looking around me, and I would say in this period of COVID-19, just listening to what people are saying and doing, people's patience are starting to wear thin with this experience. For us as believers, we are told that we are to pray for our government and to honour our government and show respect. And, you know, you can see people getting fretted and frustrated with the government. But let's remember to be biblical about this and really keep them in prayer at this time. Some of us are maybe getting a bit frayed around the edges with those people that we live with all the time, and that's probably just due to the fact that we're more in each other's pockets than we normally are. Maybe even with co-workers, maybe with those that we do life with and enjoy normally to do life with. But because it takes us longer to do anything, we have to think about where we can go and when we can be together, all of those things. Maybe some of us too, with those that we really enjoy being with, at times we have a wee bit of a lack of patience with those folk too. So what is biblical patience? In your Bible, maybe it came or is written as forbearance or maybe long-suffering, and that's probably the greatest place to start. The Greek for long-suffering is quite simply two words. It's long-tempered, the opposite of being short-tempered, and that's what we do want to be at the moment. We do want to have a short fuse. We want to be able to have patience one with the other in this season of our lives. You know, the half-brother of Jesus, James, he really wanted to encourage us to be people of patience. And he wrote this in James 1, verse 2. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." So if you want to be thankful for something this morning, you can be thankful that COVID-19 will, as believers, teach us how to be patient. And verse 4 says this, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." You see, the Lord doesn't allow anything to go to waste in our lives, but uses different circumstances to produce the best out of us. So we can be thankful, not for the virus, but thankful in this season, God will use this to make us more patient as the people of God, because the other side of it isn't very good. The Apostle Paul in this chapter, in the context that we're looking at today, is really having to chastise this church because instead of being patient with each other, we see their lives, in fact, were starting really to fall apart. Come with me to verse 15 and verse 26 again. Verse 15 says this, "But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out before you destroy one another." Verse 26 said, "Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another." This church, the context was this. They were being told that they needed to be circumcised to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, some of them were starting to say that Paul was starting to teach this again, that you needed to be circumcised. This was causing one side of the community to fall out with the other side of the community, and they started to fight among themselves with regards to this teaching. And Paul has to really come to these people and remind them that their salvation is to do with the power of the cross, and it's nothing to do with outward things that you may feel you need to do to become good. You cannot do as good as what the cross did for you in your life. But here we see this has become such a divisive point among these people that they really are not in a good place with one another at all. That word bite that we read about here within the scripture basically means that they were devouring one another. It means they were criticizing other. They were basically tearing strips of one another. And you know, that's not good, especially for a community that is looking in towards church. And if a church gets to that place, it really is not a good place to be in. In 1962 to 1967, the second Prime Minister of India, he said this as he was talking to the community of people that were listening. He actually addressed the Christians that were there among the crowd that day, and he said this: "You claim that Jesus Christ is your Savior, but you do not appear to be more saved than anyone else." Ouch. Not good. Basically, these people were not living up to the faith, to what they were called to believe. And our world is watching us. They're watching how we represent the one who's called us, the one who we believe is supposed to be working in our character and reforming us. And we need to be careful that as the world watches us under trial, that we are producing that type of character of the one who dwells within us. And back to these people at Galatia, you know, they were literally tearing strips one from the other. The New English Bible actually interprets this as if you go on fighting one another and tooth and nail. In other words, it was a wee bit like a cat fight. And I just sometimes wonder, was the Apostle Paul thinking of an ancient story that was a wee bit like our Cromwellian story about the Kilkenny cats, who actually fought each other so severely that there wasn't a scrap of fur left in either one of them? And when the church gets to that stage where they are squabbling and fighting and backbiting and criticizing one another, it really isn't good, and you lose credibility and you lose respect and people get hurt. We're called as a fellowship of people that we bear with one another, that we have patience towards one another. And yet you might find sometimes you ask yourself the question, well, why should I be patient with that person when they show such a lack of patience towards me? Let me share this with you and remind you why we need to be patient with other people. 2 Peter 3 and 9 says this: "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." You see, if the Lord can show us patience in our sinfulness and our unchanged lives. Yes, he is working in us, but he knows that we're still not complete. And if he, in this period of our lives from salvation until he redeems us, till he calls us home, if he works in us with his patience, friends, how can we not be patient with other people? It's like the parable where the man goes to the king and he asks the king to forgive him of his great debt, the massive debt that he had. And no sooner is he forgiven and set free, he walks down the road and finds a man that only owed him a couple of pounds, and he throws that man into prison because of that debt. Friends, God has forgiven us so much and is so gracious towards us, and we need to learn to operate in his spirit with those people around us. Romans 2, 1-4 goes on to say, "You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you're condemning yourself because you pass judgment. Those who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such thing is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, patience, not realizing that it's God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" Some harsh words there, aren't there? Quite scary, in fact. You know, that we judge people and we say they don't deserve our patience or our kindness. And yet when we look at our lives, oftentimes we do the same things or similar things. And yet God is so patient with us. And yet as much as that scripture there is a warning and it's a severe warning to us not to judge, there is that still lovely glimpse in there of God's grace yet towards us when we're trying to manage our human spirit and try to cause it to be more Christ-like and to operate in the Spirit of God? Let me read those words again. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not really realizing God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? Oh, we're so thankful today that God is patient with us in this process of being changed to be more like him, how we need his forbearance of us and his kindness towards us, but yet he wants us then to pass that on and to be more like him, to be more like who he is to those that are around about us. But Pastor, you don't understand. That person really provoked me. That person was nasty to me, and they're really, really provoking me. Can I encourage you with this morning? See, instead of thinking of that person and what they're doing against you, think of the one who did everything for you. Hebrews 12:3 says this, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners. The Lord experienced so much hatred, so much provocation, so many blows to his physical body even. And yet, he did not lose his patience. Consider him who endureth such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. If you're struggling with someone just now because of the way they're behaving toward you, instead of thinking about them, think about all that the Lord has done for you, so that you won't grow weary in this battle, so you won't lose heart. Keep your focus on the Lord, because the Lord wants you to be more patient. He wants you to be more like him. And the Apostle Paul learned this as well. Apostle Paul wrote these words in 1 Timothy 1:15-16. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I will show mercy, so in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense impatience as an example of those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Because the Lord showed patience towards the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul realized then that he could be a part of that chain and then start to show patience to other people. And he wants us to pass that on. He wants us to be that type of a people that will pass the patience of God, the mercy of God, the endurance of God towards us to those that we rub shoulders with. For the Christian believer, patience must be manifested with regards to people. Why? Well, quite simply this, because we learned in that passage in Galatians, that simple command of God, that we are to love our neighbor. And if we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, it makes it very clear, love is patience, love is kind. So if we're truly going to be the men and the women of God that God wants us to be, we need to be people of love. And a part of loving people is to show patience towards them. And we know also that patience is so important for us within the family of God, because if we don't have the patience for one another, we'll end up like the church in Galatia. We'll end up tearing strips of one another, criticizing each other and judging each other. And yet we need to have the eyes of Christ for each other and to realize that none of us are perfect yet. None of us are at that place. And as God is working in us, he's also working with the people that we do church with. Ephesians 4:1-3 says this, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you, live a life worthy of the calling you've received. It says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of spirit through the bond of peace. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. We've a wee saying in Northern Ireland, don't we? Couldn't stick them. And often we refer to that about a situation or a person. Couldn't stick them. But you know, when we're called as a community, especially at East Point, this community, this wonderful community of grace that God has put us into, we're making a commitment to stick them. through thick and thin, because that's what the Lord wants us to do. And it helps us in this walk, as we walk with each other, so imperfect as we are, to realize, yes, God hasn't finished with us. And in those difficult seasons of our life, when maybe we could lose patience, we need to do the word. We need to consider Him, that we don't become weary and lose heart. And we need to look at each other and say, well, the Lord's not finished with them, just as He's not finished with me. And I will, in an act of love, also be actively patient with that person, because the Lord is working in them as He is working with me. Patience, friend, isn't just necessary for us to do life in a community of grace with each other, but to do life in this world. If we don't have time, but if we were to read 1 Peter 2, verses 18 to 25, we see how, you know, Peter talks to these people about taking in their slavery beatings, and to do it well, you know, do it godly, do it with grace, and the hope that maybe it would speak to those people who had come against them. And in life, we're going to come up against people who will not like us, who will persecute us, will say all sorts of things against us. But if we operate with patience even towards those people, if we can see the Father's heart towards them, that He died for them as well. Remember, He hasn't even come back to this world yet, because He wants all people to come to repentance. And if we act with patience towards them, with His love towards them, maybe even those people that have come against us, they can see the Lord Jesus Christ within us also. We need to manifest patience in our circumstances. Because we became believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we were not guaranteed a problem-free life. In fact, Jesus said, because we follow Him, we would have trouble in our lives. But again, as we said earlier, we have to remember, as James taught us, that the circumstances we go through, God will use each and everything to produce fruit in us. So we have to lean into these seasons, knowing that in our circumstances, God will do good. God will work good for us to make us to be more like Him. We are to exercise, as Colossians 1:1 tells us, a joyful patience. Not for the situation, but for the one who is with us in the situation, in the knowledge that this situation will work for us. Friends, that's still hard. And many a time I've said to the Lord, Lord, I get what You're doing, but help me to be joyful. But I suppose that joyfulness comes again in our abiding with Him, that we become patient. Let's turn to Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 11 to 12 says this: We want each of you to show this diligence to the very end, so that you hope for what may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Are you struggling today with patience? Are you naturally quite an impatient person? Well, the scripture here is basically telling us that we are to imitate the faith and the patience of those that have gone before us or are with us, who will inherit that promise. So it's good sometimes to hang out maybe with people that are patient and learn something then. But let me say this to you, church, this is definitely an inside job. And the way for us to really experience patience is to remember the one who is patient with us, and to hang out with Him and to learn from Him. Because He has proven that by doing that, people do become patient. We think of Moses leading that ungrateful bunch of people out of their captivity and their freedom, and they moaned and groaned all the way. And yet, bless Moses, he kept his patience throughout that experience. We think of Job, known as the man of great patience, and all that he went through, the horrific times in his life where he lost absolutely everything, and yet he was known for his patience. Why? Because he knew his Redeemer lived. He knew who was with him. He knew who would see him to the end of his experience in life. If the Lord can take the Apostle Paul, the chief of sinners, the worst of sinners, and teach him patience. There's hope for all of us. There's hope for all of us when we submit ourselves to abide in him, to spend time in him, to consider the patience that he has with us every day, and yet our sinfulness, when we work out in the flesh instead of the spirit. God is able to work in us for his good. There's a lovely story told about Stanley when he went to find Livingstone and to work alongside him for a period of time. And we see that during that period of time that Livingstone didn't share anything about faith with Stanley. Livingstone's habits were beyond Stanley's comprehension as he watched him being so patient and so understanding with the African folk. And it says this of him: for the sake of Christ and the gospel, how this missionary doctor was patient, untiring, eager, spending himself and being spent for the master. And because Stanley spent so much time watching Livingstone do what he did, pouring out his life for the African people that he served and looked after, Stanley wrote this: when I saw the unwearied patience, that unflagged zeal, those enlightened sons of Africa, I became a Christian at his side, though he never spoke to me about it. If you lack patience today, well, the scripture tells us, hang out with some people that are patient. The scripture tells us to remind ourselves of those great people of faith who show patience. But I want to say it again, church, this morning. If you want to have patience in your life, abide with the one who is the most patient with you, to teach you how to be patient with others. And I want to remind you again about abiding. Abiding is being submissive to God, putting your whole life under his authority. And maybe you're watching this broadcast today and you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know you lack so much patience, and you've heard for the first time this morning that God is patient with you, wanting you to come to repentance. That means he wants you to turn away from your old life and he wants you to walk with him, and he's going to teach you how to become more like him, which means, as we read even in Psalm 37 this morning, that you will be much more satisfied in life than living your own way. So when you become submissive to him and you repent, you turn away from your old lifestyle and you follow him, you can be assured that he will start to make changes in your life. But that means you have to submit everything to his authority and he becomes number one in your life, that he's the Lord of your life. And believer, this morning, we can't say that he's the Lord of our lives if we're not submitting everything. Commit your way to the Lord. We have to commit everything to his authority. Every desire, every plan, everything that we do, we commit it to him. And when we are committed to his plan for our life, we therefore are in submission to him, and that is us abiding. We abide by reading his word, learning from his word, letting him show us how to live. And this is what these scriptures are all about. Even those negative scriptures that teach us how not to do it, or we can learn from those scriptures, or the way not to do it. We listen to God's word, and by taking his word on, we start to be changed, to be like him. And as we talk to him and dialogue, you know, maybe as I said today, you are an impatient person. Talk to God about it. Share your frustration with him. Don't take it out on other people. Share your frustration with him. He's big enough to hold you in this and to teach you his heart toward you, that you can have his heart towards other people and show patience. Church, this morning, enjoy the journey of becoming more like him.